with Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.
Today's show is brought to you by Renault, official car partner of the GAA. With a proud tradition in Ireland, Renault are committed to supporting those who give their everything to the game, both on and off the field. And after another hard-fought road to Croker, they understand as well as yourselves how important it is to enjoy the journey. That passion for what drives you extends to the time you spend on the road. With that in mind, head to Renault.ie/GAA for access to special motoring offers exclusive to GAA members.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Welcome everybody to the Irish Examiner GAA podcast, brought to you again in association with Renault Ireland. The official car sponsor of the GAA. I remembered all that without even looking at the script. We're joined in studio by Eamon Fitzmaurice, former Kerry manager, and Tony McEntee, former Armagh and Cross McGlynn footballer. Tony Lean to lob a couple of grenades, and Larry Ryan on sound. Lads, yesterday, obviously, we were all there in Croke Park. Most of us were in Croke Park. A disappointing day in a lot of sense, obviously, from a Kerry perspective. From Dublin's point of view, you're saying what an amazing team, completing five in a row. You can have all the talk you want about disparity in population and finance. You still have to go out and win games and win them back-to-back to where they've done it, and it's an incredible achievement. And I think it's probably a better place to start than to be talking about Kerry. The quality that Dublin showed in the first game, Eamon, and then obviously yesterday to get the job done.
Yeah, I think, look, the first game... what they showed us was their resilience and the way that they can just survive even when a lot of them were playing under par. Someone always steps up for them. Jack McCaffrey stepped up big time in the drawn game. Dean Rock stepped up big time in the drawn game. Tony's had similar experiences against him with Mayo when everything is being thrown at them. Someone always finds a way and someone always steps up. And they survived, I suppose, the first day, but they could have won it at the end as well. Whereas yesterday, I think we saw, particularly in the second half, we saw them at their best. We saw that they did adapt better from the drawn game. And, they're an outstanding team. They don't need me or anyone else to say it. They know it themselves. I think they realised it afterwards themselves, what they had achieved straight away. Jim Gavin was... he was smiling, he was enjoying it, he was really taking it in, whereas other years it was just a matter of it's ticked off and it's won, the game is won. But you could see that he enjoyed it. Kieran Kilkenny's interview with RT after the game, he was about as expressive as they are, and they really showed what it meant to them, and they understood what they're after achieving, which is incredible, and it's phenomenal, and I think all of us can do really is just take our hats off to them.
Yeah, and it's interesting though, like that now they've done five in a row, and you're starting to see, you saw a bit of personality yesterday, you know, and that's one of the things that people talk about. I mean, we all know how good they are, and you know, people talk, they're robots and they're machines, but like I just saw a thing there with Jack McCaffrey outside Crumlin Hospital, and they were on their way to Temple Street, and I know all the winning teams do it, and it's great PR, and it looks great, and it's nice for the kids and nice for the families, but you could tell by the guy, and I know they're the same as any county, like it genuinely is something that he really just takes great pride in, the fact that they can go in and bring a bit of light to families in a kind of a dark time by going to the hospitals. And I know every team, the hurlers and the ladies footballers, everybody goes and does it, and it's a really nice thing. But I just think for their own legacy, we'll know all the numbers, we'll know all the trophies, we'll know all the titles, but like the personality that we're starting to see a little bit of now in these moments are the things that, you'd love to see a little bit more from. You know what I mean, Tony? Or like, I know the numbers are great and they're winning everything, but it's just, I think if... people take to a champion more when you can see a little bit of their heart and a bit of their, a bit of what they're putting into it as well,
Yeah, I think first of all, we should, and in my case, congratulate them on the 5-0 success. And it is a great achievement. And obviously it's a great achievement for the handful of people who have those 5-0 medals. I think for me then, if we're looking at the people and the personality piece, is that there are a number of them who you actually could really admire. but I don't know I can say that for them all. I could admire James McCarthy as an example. It doesn't quite show his the expression or his personality, but at least you know on the day he's given to everything. And for me, he's a, I said this before, he's a, an absolute stallion when it comes to Thoroughbred. When it comes to a player on the field, like, he always delivers and he always comes through. I mean, the chips is down, James is always there. Like, but then there's the likes of James with the, or not James, Jack with the personality, and Kieran Kilkenny. Like, I think Kieran Kilkenny is somebody who has always worked really hard and has always been somebody you could admire. He has the Irish language thing going on as well. He's a solid fella on and off the field. You know, he's somebody you could actually really admire to him. Like, you know, and then you're bringing in people the likes of Conor Callaghan for the person he's turned into, as an example, you know. But there's other people you actually find hard to connect to in that team, you know, and that's players who've been on the bench and players who are still there now at the minute. And I think that's something that this team actually could genuinely benefit from, you know, because previous defeated All-Ireland teams, and I was involved in one in Mayo, you could say there's an awful lot more personality in those teams and something you can relate to. And hopefully we'll see more of that now in Dublin coming through. Hopefully, yeah, for them.
Yeah, I know. And so, look, it's not, they're not going to care overly about what we think of their personality and their character. But it's
But I think they should, because it's not us. It's other kids and it's other people watching them and that, you know. And it's not the case that everybody can win All Ireland and they can't win All Ireland. But everybody can enjoy it and everybody can do their best and everybody can be better than what they are, surely. Like, you know. And if we're going to aspire to somebody, well, let that be Dublin we aspire to. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to aspire to them, let it be all that's good about us. Let it be all that's good about the GAA, like, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's the general point. And they have that. It's not like they're not capable of it. It's just to leave a little bit more out. And it was interesting, like, that Jim Gavin, you know, was actually smiling and was actually went over to the hill and gave a little wave and took a little bit of applause. And it was different. And I know five in a row is a milestone and it's a different one from every other one, but it was interesting and a small little, you know, tweak from their normal stuff.
It was, and maybe for us mere mortals, we go mad when we win one. Maybe Jim always had five as his target, and
maybe.
And he, you know, all the other ones were just like getting to half time in the game for the rest of us. So,
yeah.
No, I was delighted to see him really enjoying it yesterday evening, because the five in a row achievement is a magnificent achievement, but his championship record it's just ridiculous. I don't know, in world sports and other sports, is there someone that has come in over such a long period of time and lost one game? It really is remarkable. And all the other teams that have come, we've come hard at them, Mayo have come hard at them at different times, and they've always managed to find a way. And we just mentioned Kieran Kilkenny there, and it's a thing that's always been in my head about them, and something that I think underpins what they're about and what Jim Gavin has created there, and Pat Gilroy before him, and all the other people that are involved. But Kieran Kilkenny was down in Australia with a contract awarded to him. I'm not sure what club he was with, but he was actually down there, and he said he was there for a couple of weeks, and he said, you know what, this isn't for me. I want to go home. I want to win All-Irelands with Dublin. I want to play with my club in Dublin, and that's going to mean a way more to me than anything I'm going to achieve down here. And, you know, for him to have won what he's won in the meantime, he's won six, I suppose. He's won five in a row. It kind of shows, you know, what they're about, and we're always using that word culture. But if you've a fella at the other side of the world and says, I want to go home and win All-Irelands, that's a very powerful thing to have in your group then. And like Tony said, the likes of him, he's a very solid fella, comes across very well, and I'd imagine he's the same within the group. So, you know, like I said, hats off to them.
And I suppose digging into it a little bit then, lads, if we looked at the performance from the first day out, and you're saying Kerry are right there, last couple of minutes. I know Dublin obviously were the ones that were pushing in the last 10, 12 minutes of that game, had the four or five shots to Kerry zero. Kerry had five turnovers, didn't have the composure to get it done the last day. What changed? Obviously they had a 15 man for the whole game this time, Tony, but what were the crucial differences this time between the last game?
So I think the first crucial difference was the better line out that Dublin went with.
Okay.
So I think Jim certainly learned from the first time. I think he had to, because I think the drawn match, his line out simply was not performing well. And he really didn't make a change till 65 or 67 minutes, whatever he put on his first sub. So it was clear that James McCarthy coming in the midfield and Owen Morton coming back. And Owen Morton had a superb game for 55 minutes that he was on the field. So I think that's the first thing. The second thing just that allowed was Johnny Cooper to roam free and not have to pick up a man. He was marking Aidan's plan, wasn't he? So he was sort of like roaming free and controlling the game much better. So I think from the outset, Dublin had a much better fluidity about them, much better know-how of where they wanted to play, etc. After that, really, it was a game of mistakes. You know, the goal, the errors around the goal that happened, the number of shooting errors that was there in the second half. But for me, the thing, I think, was that Kerry, Dublin got the 4 points up, Kerry had to fight to come back. Then they went another 3 or 4 points up and Kerry had to fight to get back. And that huge effort that it takes to do that just pays off, or just it comes at the end, and they suffer at the end. And at the end of the game, when Kerry needed to be competing and trying to win, get a few handy scores, etc., they were missing them. Like, there was balls dropping wide, easy opportunities that they would have scored otherwise, you know.
Yeah, and like, that's all the stuff that Dublin probably did right, and they, like you said earlier, Eamon, that they adapted and they learned from that first game and they made those changes that had a positive impact on their game. Was there stuff from Kerry's perspective that maybe they didn't do as well as the, you know, the changes that they made probably didn't, like the Diarmuid O'Connor one was I was looking at it and I was trying to figure out, you know, you had Tommy Welch, you had Killian Spillane, and you had Jack Sherwood, who've been playing really, really well off the bench and all are kind of offensive substitutes. Diarmuid hasn't really played, and he's a guy, now I'm really, really high on Diarmuid O'Connor. He's an unbelievable miner. You know, he's got, I think he's going to be your next kind of bedrock midfielder in the next 10 years. I think he's that good. He's got the mobility, the kicking, the everything. Just, he's not there yet. You know, he's 19 or 20 years of age. He's just not there yet. It was a big, big call to start him at wing forward in a game when he hasn't played in the last three games, and there were other guys that seemed to maybe have been going better for that kind of a spot. It just seemed like it was an odd one.
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things in it. I think, first of all, I think, to be fair to Peter and the management, what they've done this year is they've come at different times with calls that we've all, before the game, maybe kind of scratched our head a small bit, and then as the game has gone on, we've said, yeah, okay, I see what you were doing there, and it worked. I think with the Diarmuid O'Connor thing, there was a couple of things. I think Jack McCaffrey was a big consideration in that decision. That was effective. I think the other thing as well, and maybe it didn't play out as well as they would have planned, was he was going to be another big kick-out option if Kerry came under pressure on their kick-out, which, I watched back the game this morning, as far as I can see, both keepers were 100%. I think both keepers were actually 100%. There was one that Dublin lost.
Yeah, Cluxton lost two. He lost two.
Did he lose two?
He went over the sideline, and one that Jack Barry knocked down, I think, to Stephen O'Brien, both in the second half.
Okay.
But so that was the only two, and Kerry were 100%, yeah.
And so, like, I mean, that's incredible. But that's just an aside, and that's just going back to the Diarmuid O'Connor option. I think that if Dublin were getting that aggressive press on the kick-out, they were bursting kick-outs back in, and Kerry were struggling under it, Diarmuid O'Connor would have gone wide to the other side and would have been probably a mismatch on a kick-out. So I think that was probably a consideration as well. So, look, I think to go and win All-Irelands, oftentimes you have to make bold decisions and you have to, you know, pull a rabbit out of the hat. And I think that was the one that the lads went with. I think you mentioned the likes of Jack, Killian, Tommy. That was they were their finishing players. That had worked very well in the last two games. I think they were reluctant to change that. So I get where they were coming from. Look, I've been there, done that, you make big calls. When they work, they work. When they don't, and you're open to questions. And, you know, the old one about players winning All-Irelands, managers losing them, that's always the way it's going to be. So, you know, I see where the lads were coming from, and I think snuffing Jack McCaffrey out was a huge job anyway. Okay, he got injured just before halftime and had to go off. But, you know, stopping that impact was a big contribution. And, you know, Diarmuid O'Connor put in a couple of balls. He got on a bit of ball. He tackled. He did a bit as well. So he'll be all the better for that experience of starting an All-Ireland final as well.
Absolutely. I actually think that the calls were fine. I think Jim O'Connor was fine. And I think the Kerry line-out and set-up was fine. I think it's a mistake issue here was the problem. It was like our number of mistakes, the shooting. So I wouldn't be critical at all of the way the set-up or the way they played or otherwise. Like, you know, and there was sometime, Conor Callaghan, as an example, had a superb game this week compared to the previous time, you know. And it's very hard to legislate that. If you look back at the Kerry team and the set-up from, I don't know, 3 months ago, like, would you be as critical of saying that the nearly won, could have won, possibly an Ireland final. I don't think he would. Like, that team's come on a long way in for young players in that period of time. Like, I don't know. I think we should be less critical of how they maybe could have changed. And,
oh, yeah. Like, the glass is obviously half full for Kerry. And I mean, you have so many young guys. There's about 14 guys have made their championship debut in the last, you know, number of months, and they've really blooded guys, and they're always going to, you know, with the likes of Dermot O'Connor and Shea and Clifford, you know, Ollie, Gavin White, these all guys are only out of minor, and they're obviously going to be, you know, they're going to be the bedrock of your team in the next 10 years, and that's why you're, you know, that's why you're kind of so anxious that these fellas take to it as well as they have, and they have done, obviously. But you can still see there was a couple of things that Kerry were trying to do. Dermot O'Connor was the one thing. They obviously started the game in the first 10 minutes and with a mindset of we're going to go long and direct to the edge of the square and try and exploit one-on-one matchups. The other thing was the kick-out press, you know, that we got a bit of joy out of it the first time. Didn't really see a lot of it. I suppose we didn't have a lot of opportunities. You didn't have a lot of free kicks or 45s. Didn't get any kind of joy out of that in the way you did the first time. So there was definitely some things that you can say, we could have done this a little bit better, we could have done that a little bit better. But if you're losing All-Ireland, I suppose, Tony, that's always the way it's going to be.
Yeah, I you were talking there, Mike, about Jim Gavin afterwards, and I've never heard or listened to Jim Gavin being as detailed and expressive as he was in his press conference afterwards. I mean, Jim Gavin is usually in and out there in 5 minutes. You know, he was 15 minutes and he was talking, he was getting into detail about players and Cluxton and Kilkenny, and it was the kind of really intriguing stuff that you'd actually all love to have been hearing for the last 4 or 5 years. But I mean, like, one of the most important snippets he said, and Eamon, you know, like, he's not a man who actually likes to give a soundbite, like, but he did actually say at one stage, and I thought it was extremely telling, that the Murchin goal gave Dublin breathing space, and that's the actual just term he used, breathing space. And I think if you were to interpret that, you're basically saying, Mike, Kerry, like, what I felt, were in a really, really good place at halftime, a seriously good place, going in for the second week in a row in at halftime with all the momentum. I mean, where I come from in terms of what Kerry did wrong or Dublin did right or whatever, Tony, is I was just thinking about the stat, Eamon. Kerry didn't concede a scorable free in their own half in 75 minutes. They made 23 out of 23 kickouts themselves. They converted 78% of their chances in the first half. But the two remaining things that you can be talking all night about is, number one, as you said, T-Mac, they actually gave away a dreadful goal in the first 12 seconds of the second half, and their shooting success rate was 27% in the second half. Mm. 27%. And you know, Mike, you saw them. I mean, these weren't snatch shots. I mean, there were a lot of these were proper chances. And as Tony said earlier, if you're going to stick with Dublin and you're going to make them blink, A, you've got to be there like at 60, 65 minutes, and you've got to be actually converting all those things. And it just got to a point, unfortunately, where Dublin have been there, done that, and this Kerry group haven't. That ultimately is where it came to.
But that's Dublin, and that's that five in a row team summed up there, Tony, in your stats. You've to have all of your stats right. Yeah. The first three that you called out on the money couldn't be better. But to beat them, you actually have to have your shot conversion rate at the same level in the second half coming down the stretch. You have to have your error rate non-existent, because they punish errors so much that that's how good they are. And I made the point in my piece tomorrow or today when the podcast goes out that I think part of the challenge for Kerry for next season is the way that they're playing. It's so fatiguing that coming down the stretch, trying to have the energy to get up the pitch, make the right decisions, execute those shooting chances, that was fatigue. Hmm. We didn't score for 12 minutes again at the end last night. That's down to because the team works so hard. They go back in numbers together. They work back the field, counter-attack at pace, hugely effective in the first half. But trying to do that for 80 minutes is very challenging. And I think the errors came out of that, and the shot conversion dropped off because of fatigue and because that is such a wearing game to play for 80 minutes. The Dubs can do that for a period. But then they also, as we saw in the second half, for a couple of their scores where they hold possession for three and a half minutes, everything slows down. They all get a bit of a breather. they're working the other team, they're moving them around, they probe, they get a shot away, they get a score, but they've also recovered. They've also given themselves a couple of minutes recovery. While they're recovering, the Kerry fellas are still chasing shadows and moving around. Mm. So I think that's something that we can definitely look at next year in terms of a bit of variety in that regard, because I think it isn't a coincidence both days that we ended up not scoring late in the game.
Mm. Can I just ask one question of you, Eamon? I mean, I'm asking more as a former Kerry manager as such, but because football has now become so obsessed with, you know, man on man, and in terms of just making sure, getting the matchups right and getting everything paired off, was there a trick missed, I mean, Tony or Eamon, was there a trick missed on the Dublin goal by Tom O'Sullivan, Eamon? The fact that in an old-fashioned schoolyard game, you go to the ball, you go to the danger, you go to the guy who's going to shoot, but he, you know, you, I was watching it back the same as you were. He was so preoccupied with not moving off Con O'Callaghan in that moment.
I agree, but what I'd say is Con O'Callaghan was so clever, Tony, with his movement. If Tom had gone to the ball, Con O'Callaghan had spun around and was in for a simple little flip over, and he would have got the goal anyway. Where I felt the mistakes were, I felt that both Tom and Tighe could have come in tighter earlier and just given up a point, just abandoned their men, came in almost to the 13-yard line and just kind of there. Dublin, Merchant bursting through the middle straight away from halftime. A point is a big score there. He's happy out, tip it over the bar, give it to one of the finishers, they'll tip it over the bar. But we almost made up Merchant's mind for him in terms of that the runway was open. I also think further out, both Gavin Crowley and Brian tore into the throw-in, and they were caught ahead of the ball, also preoccupied with their own men. So because of that, then the only remaining half-back was Paul Murphy, who was very wide, and he was trying to come back from a very wide position. So he was always going to struggle to get there. So that's all. And look, again, that's learning. But I felt that once he had come so far, and Tom had to stay with Con O'Callaghan at that stage, I felt, because Con O'Callaghan was so clever. He came in, then he went sideways, then he spun around and he was gone inside. And if Tom had made any move at all, he was going to pop it off. And maybe even in Tom's brain, I don't know whether he thought it, he was saying, is it better for Merchant to be having a pop or Con O'Callaghan? Leave Merchant at it, and who knows, Shane Ryan might save it, as he did with Dear McConnelly later on in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but definitely... You'd say, like, to Donny Buckley and Tommy Griffin are looking at that today and they're so frustrated from a coaching perspective that they didn't collapse on the ball. Like, that you know, exactly what you're saying, that Tom Sullivan didn't recognise it sooner, that Tighe Morley didn't recognise it sooner and say, we'll give up a point here or we'll give up a foul, but we won't concede a goal. And, like, that's the, you know, and that's probably, you know, we're talking about guys up top maybe being inexperienced. It's probably that inexperience there of young guys. If that was an older person who knew what was happening, they'll just learn from that and get better. And the next time you see somebody, you know, careering down the middle of a Kerry defence next year, you would imagine that same scenario would play out very differently. And that's the point we're making, I suppose, about how Kerry have to learn and grow from these kind of experiences.
And it was just to compare it with the Stephen O'Brien chance and how Johnny Cooper managed the Stephen O'Brien chance. Again, you looked there, like, as O'Brien was going in, you know, Cooper was in that stick or twist position, like, but he actually stayed enough in O'Brien's eye line to actually almost block out the gainy option. And I suppose that's the other side, Mike, to you know, that's the experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and isn't it also the case that the Dublin got a goal in two from the four kickouts, from three kickouts to one, from throw-ups, hot balls at the start, like, you know. Mm. So that's a serious return from the start of a game.
Yeah, and it's, like, all of it, lads, is, like, Dublin have such, like, a wealth of game management, like, just the way they managed every aspect of the games. Like, they're obviously those things from the throw-ins. They are, if we secure possession, centre-forwards, get out of there. You got to get out, get wide, create a lane down the middle for us to go and travel and see what comes off it. Like, Gavin was talking about that was a set play. Like, it's not a set play. Like, it's not a set play. We've got a couple of guidelines that if this is happening, you do this. But, I mean, you don't drop a play for him to bang a goal with the outside of his right boot.
No, you don't. But do you know what? It's funny. I've been looking at that set play and Dublin doing similar set plays, because their half forwards start so wide, they come in, their two corner forwards inside start so wide, they put different fellas in, at full forward at different times, and that fella to try and create one-on-ones for them. I'm looking at them, since I've been Kerry manager, in game after game, setting this up like this. It has never come off like that before. It has come off at other times where they've won it, they've popped it inside, the backs have reacted, they get a point from it. As Tony mentioned there, as they did right at the start of the game for Conor Callaghan's point in, within 15 seconds or whatever. But for it to come off as it did there, they've rehearsed that hundreds of times. It hasn't come off before, but they have it there, they have it there. And then when it comes off in the biggest day, and it ends up being... I think that's why he referred to the set play aspect of it afterwards. They probably practiced it hundreds of times, but this is the first time it comes up. And as I said, I've seen them set up like that loads of times before, but it's never quite come off to that degree.
Yeah.
But to suggest that every county team don't have a number set plays would be wrong too, Mike. You know, it's just we see more of Dublin. So I suspect every county team has some similar set plays for frees, kickouts, whatever the case is, you know. And I don't, I used to think that Dublin were very stage managed and very deliberate in every move that they make. And I actually don't think that is true at all. You know, I think, as I understand, most of their training is done through game based scenarios, whatever that means, and less so simple drills and exercises, you know. And so in that case, you know, they probably are just more used to playing with each other, more familiar with each other, more comfortable. Maybe got a better range of footballers than most teams. Well, clearly have a better range of footballers than most teams. And as a result, it maybe look more stage managed than they actually are at this stage, 4 years down the road, like 5 years down the road.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like that Merchant obviously was a guy who didn't even, you know, like he didn't play in the drawing. Well, he didn't start the drawing game, and he comes on and he's the guy, probably one of their most inexperienced backs, and he ends up being the guy that actually comes in and takes another burst. And that was really... Like, you could feel the air kind of come out of Kerry at that stage, because at halftime it was 10-10. You're saying Kerry didn't play well in that first 10 minutes when they were launching ball and they were getting nothing out of it, but they clawed their way back, to your point, Eamon, I suppose, that it took such energy to get back 10-10. You're saying we've a good chance because you've got guys, you've got serious, you know, finishers coming off the bench, and you're going to make this a right contest. That sucked the life out of you. They got a point straight after, and immediately, within about 90 seconds of the restart, you went from level 10-10 to we're down 4 points.
But it's not the most frustrating part of this, is that they would know that that third quarter has to be managed and managed properly. And yet those players that Eamon mentioned still kept wide and still retained their position, knowing that we cannot afford goals. And it just happened.
Yeah, and it's that crucial period, like everybody knows that third quarter, to your point, is this is when Dublin really want to step on the gas here and go at you before they bring off the, you know, bring in the cavalry for the last quarter to get them over the line. But it just, you know, Mourne, like Dave, obviously, you know, if something Jack Barry blocked off Fenton, Mourne didn't realise he had as much time as he had, went with the punch to try and get it forward. Probably a set play that Kerry had in their own head to get something going forward straight away. Falls to his hands, and then the rest happens. But it was amazing, like how that 90 seconds just really deflated Kerry so quickly again.
It did, but they recovered as well, Mike. You know, they came right back. Did they get back level, or they certainly got it back to a point? Point down. So, you know, they rallied again, and I think for me this year, that's been one of the things that I've enjoyed most and admired most from outside, is that There's been good old consistency and resilience there, that there's been setbacks. Second half has been very strong from the lads all year. You know, they've been in tight enough situations in games against Donegal in the Super 8s game, against Tyrone in the All-Ireland semi-final, against Dublin in the drawn game, against Dublin in the replay they had to come back a couple of times. But there's been good resilience from a pretty young group. Okay, you have the core that have a lot of experience. You have a lot of them that have been around the camp for the last 3-4 years, and they've built up experience within the camp. But, you know, for a young group, I've been very happy with the way that they have shown the resilience. Like I said, I think that they ran out of a bit of juice by the end, just by the way that they were playing, and that they had to keep chasing the game and coming back and back. But the goal was obviously a huge score. Tadhg Marley's goal that wasn't was obviously a huge moment as well. Both of those were big moments. But I still think the lads reacted well and they came back again. So, you know, again, for the future, that augurs well.
Yeah, and like we talked about a game of mistakes, Tony, earlier, and like, if you look at the attacking talent on both sides, I suppose Dublin had the guys that didn't perform to their, you know, to their optimum the first game. But if you look at, you know, Conor Callaghan, Kilkenny, Mannion, Dean Rock, who was quiet, he finished with 2 points, but like, they had 14 points from play, you know, like, that's a big score. And the Kerry big four, I suppose Stephen O'Brien didn't again for the second kind of final, he didn't give you, you know, what you felt he was capable of getting. Now obviously, you know, Cluxton makes a great save from a goal, and that could have been a whole momentum shifter. But I think the three lads have had 10 points from play. But some of the attacking, like, and some of the score taking, particularly in the first half, the second quarter, by both teams, was just of an outrageous kind of standard, really.
Absolutely, but these are the best sets of forwards in the country. So the top six forwards are on display in both teams yesterday. So you would expect that. And that's why the second half by Kerry was so disappointing when it comes to the scoring and the return from scoring. Because while they were tired, at least later on they were tired, you do expect better than that from those players. You do expect David to give you more, David Moran and David Clifford to give you more. You expect Paul Gainey to return more possession than what he has at the time. I thought he was superb yesterday, actually, in fairness to him. And I think Stephen has been poor over the two finals, and that hasn't been his form. Like, he has been very good now all year. So I think while the return on scores in the second half was poor, I think it's fair enough to say that's less than expected from Kerry, despite the effort and workload that they were doing from it.
Oh yeah, 5 points in the second half, Eamon. Like, it was obviously, you know, you felt whatever happened, you know, we knew Dublin were going to score. But you always felt that with that talent that Kerry had available, they were still going to put up a bigger score than 15 points with only five in the second half, obviously.
You would. And look, I think it's funny, and as you're about to learn, Mike, in the management game, sometimes things can be, what would you say, there can be these funny patterns that take on a shape during the course of a season, both positive and negative for your team. And this year for Kerry, one of the things has been they've created loads of goal chances throughout the championship, but we haven't converted them as we can. Going right back to the Clare game in Ennis, we created goal chances. The last day, you know, Brian Obiogliak drove forward in the first half, created I wouldn't even call it a half chance. I call it more than a half chance for Paul Gainey. Mm. He put it over the bar. You know, Paul is a finisher, and at his best, he could have drilled it low to Cluxton's right, Paul's left. There was a good gap there. But again, easy to talk from here, in fairness. Stephen's chance in the second half, you know, to win, we needed those goals, really. So 5 points, absolutely. And look, with the Dubs, and with all we say about the Dubs and how good they are in terms of their attacking play, over the last couple of years, I'm sure, Tony, you found this as well, their backs are superb as well. Yeah. As good as their forwards are, and their forwards were outstanding yesterday, but their backs make it so hard for you. Every single score you get, you earn. Think of some of the scores that Kerry kicked yesterday. They were serious scores under pressure. Mm. There weren't too many gimmies there that you were just chipping it over the bar. There was serious pressure in every score. So their backs are superb as well. So I think to beat them, they are going to limit your point scoring range because their backs are good. So you have to get goals in. And it's just been one of those unfortunate patterns for us this year. We've been creating them, but we haven't been getting enough of them to beat the Dublins of the world. So, again, from Peter Keane's perspective, it's something for next season. I'm sure he'd be more worried if they weren't creating the chances. The next step is just to be taking more of them.
Eamon, does it go back? And again, I know this isn't an easy question. Does it go back to the balance of the attack, in the sense of, realistically, you could look at it like, basically, Kerry had four midfielders on the pitch on Sunday. I mean, if you class Adrian Spillane and Dermot O'Connor as midfielders, so that actually puts an awful lot of pressure on your scoring trio, which the boys mentioned earlier. I actually think Stephen O'Brien, funny enough, Tony, had two good finals performance-wise. But you're right, his sum total was a point out of both games. I actually thought he actually did quite well yesterday. He didn't finish. But I'm just saying that puts a huge amount of pressure up top. And I agree, I was going to make the point about the goal threat. And you go back to the first game as well, and the number of goals, the chances they had. I remember making a note after 60 minutes yesterday. It just feels like it's ebbing away for Kerry. And you just felt that if they could create a moment where Clifford or Gainey was actually in that goal-threatening position, that looked to me like the thing that was required all game. That effort in the first half that Gainey blew over with his left foot was a half a chance. But that chance never came. And is that a credit? Are we crediting that to Dublin? Or, as you say, is that an ongoing deficiency in terms of Kerry's goal finishing?
Nice handy one there, Tony. Yeah. I would give credit to Dublin because, as I said, systematically they are very good defensively. Not so much the first game, which they rectified for the replay. Johnny Cooper and Owen Merchant were swapping sweeper roles. Confusing enough for the Kerry lads to deal with at times because Shawnee Shea was ending up having to track Merchant at times, Cooper at times. They were fresh then when they were making the runs. Shawnee seemed to be tracking them the whole time, which was sucking energy out of him. So I would give Dublin plenty of credit. But you're right. You see, I suppose in one way, you can say that Kerry were playing with four midfielders or more defensively based players. But you also then have four out-and-out attackers that some of their defensive duties are probably being removed from them. The likes of David Clifford, Paul Gainey, Stephen O'Brien, Shawnee O'Shea. Now, Stephen and Shawnee, by their nature, really work back anyway. But I'm sure the idea is that when we're in possession, you're trying to have those four close to goals, operating in space. So I can see absolutely what the thinking behind it is. But again, you see Dublin just force you out of those comfort zones or those things that look great in the whiteboards or in your diary or whatever, that they're a bit harder to implement on the big day, particularly against them, against a lot of other teams. It has worked very well this year. And I mean, I would say Kerry have only lost two games all season, isn't it? Three.
Mayo twice in the league.
So, you know, which is, that's a good degree of consistency throughout the year. So the system and the personnel has worked quite well for this year. To win next year, obviously, the lads are going to be thinking about it over the winter and they'll know exactly where they're at now. But I give plenty of credit to Dublin, to be honest, for Kerry not getting the goals yesterday.
Yeah, and you'd have to. I mean, I think it's 12 wins, one draw out of 16 games. So you lost three games out of 16 for Peter Keenan management. They'll be obviously very disappointed to have lost the two finals, the league final and the All-Ireland replay. But still, from their point of view, it's easy to, you know, satisfy themselves in terms of experience gained or whatever. But the defensive side of it, I think, is a really interesting one. Like that, you can say that those Kerry forwards are the best that's in there, Tony, that we have around the place. But yet, like, those Dublin backs that we keep saying are maybe that full back line isn't as good as every other line in the pitch, they still restrict collectively that Kerry attack to 5 points in the second half. And ultimately, you can have the goals, you can have everything else. That was the difference in the game. If you can hold that attack to 5 points in the second half, that's huge.
Yeah, but the inside forward line for Kerry scored what the weekend?
10 points.
Yeah. So the issue isn't the inside forward line. The issue is halfbacks and midfields and elsewhere coming up. Because the problem with Kerry is they're not getting the spread at players coming through the field that's contributing or adding to them inside forwards. Like if your main scoring base is so localised that you've been kept to a full back line, the second half when Dublin were sort of in control, all they had to do was cover that sort of D shape, that space in there. And it left that Kerry were shooting from slightly outside or different angles, and we see the return on it. So I think it's more of that breaking through. Like Tom O'Sullivan broke through and took a shot and missed it. Who else broke through at all yesterday from that Kerry outfit? Like, even took a shot from that Kerry outfit in the whole day, you know?
David Moran had a couple, obviously. Adrian Spillane kicked a point. Like, Tom Sullivan...
Yeah, but they're midfielders and half forwards. Like, who's coming from defence? Coming up there.
Very little. Like, I mean, Tom is one, and Tom is, as Eamon will tell you, is a very capable scorer. Like, and he'd normally, that one that he missed, he'd normally kick that over in, you know, for, you know, his sleep or whatever. But, yeah, and it's a fair point. Tyke Morley, obvious goal chance. Yeah. Now, if he had... You know, if it was probably somebody else or if he had an extra yard on him, it looked like he was just trying to get into the square to draw a foul. And that whole incident was, and Conor Lane, and we won't ask Eamon because obviously he's after causing enough trouble with referees. Yeah. But like, I thought in general, I know the guy made a couple of mistakes, but in general, now that one, I'm not sure what he did. It was only when I went back and watched it again last night. Like he flashed a black card to Fitzsimons, isn't that right?
Well, yeah, no, it was a tick, but he went straight away to Fitzsimons to say, I meant to tick you, even though Fitzsimons was the wrong fella.
But it was Conn O'Kelly who actually
But Fitzsimons was in the incident as well, to be fair to him. So
he was, but he wasn't the guy that should have been, you'd imagine Conn O'Kelly. For a young guy, it was an absolutely fantastic foul, like, to give away.
Well, it was the foul that David needed to do in the second
exactly.
half.
Exactly. I was just going to get to it. Like, and you could see Dave grabbed at Martin's shoulder.
He tried.
And he was probably conscious of leaving the field with a black or something. But, like, it was just for a young guy, I thought, for Conn O'Callaghan, to give away the foul and not have to, you know, get a black card and get sent off. Do it before you got to the square and not give away a penalty. Like, it was just really interesting. And Conor Lane eventually, it was probably the right decision. It wasn't a black. It wasn't, maybe a yellow to Conn, nothing huge. Anything else? What else did Lane, the goal, obviously, then was the highlight of the last night, that he took, you know, the merchant took something like 87 steps without taking a play of the ball and kicked it into the goals. But again, like, how are you, it's so difficult. You're trying to give him advantage for Dave Moore and pulling his shoulder. You know, he's, you know, not obviously, you can't be looking at every kind of a thing, but that was something he missed. The other thing that I thought, and it's not something that I'm be critical of Dublin or Conor Lane, it's just something that we all need to start taking out of Dublin, is the amount of work that they do, obviously through Jason Sherlock maybe, but like screening guys off the ball. Like, I just thought yesterday it was at the most prevalent I've ever seen them doing it. And that goal, you know, Fenton actually, was it Fenton or McCarthy? One of them hip checked Stephen O'Brien and created that little lane. And they were happening all over the field yesterday. It was really like, you know, you could see Jason Sherlock maybe, or whoever it is, but these screens that they're running are just so far ahead of everybody else in the game, I suppose.
Yeah, but they should get credit for that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's up to the referees and their officials to spot it. So, yeah, I would applaud them for it. You know, it's well within the rules of the game at the minute. So,
it's not.
It is. You're allowed to do anything that they're not caught, Tony. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
You know, it's well within. certainly in a big pressure match like that, there's nobody pulling them up on it.
Yeah, and
there's nobody saying it. Like,
and listen, you'd only be delighted if you could get your team playing with this kind of cuteness, and that's what it was.
100%,
and like, they were just, all it is, when you, in those games, Fitz, you were talking about the, you know, the pressure that you're under all the time. If you can just do something without even making contact, but to just work an extra half a yard for a guy to get his head up to have a shot or to make a pass. And like, again, it's just like, this is where they've gone to it. We're not, all the rest of us are looking at this. They're on to the next point already, and creating that little extra loop for people.
They are, but you can have, Tony, you'll definitely enjoy it when you look back. There's a couple, James McCarthy certainly got a couple of very good shunts. I wouldn't call them screens. And I think it was Philly right at the end for one of the kind of goal mouth scrambles at the end. David Clifford was torpedoed, and it wasn't a very subtle screen either, but absolutely. And correct me if I'm wrong, in basketball, if you're screening, like, you have to keep your hands down, don't you? Mm. Or do you?
Well, you got to be stationary, yeah. Have to be stationary.
Whereas, you know, Dublin are brilliant at putting their hands up and out as if, and I'm definitely not in the way here, but they're actually making the screen twice as wide, and it's even harder again to get around. So they are. They are exceptional. And they're not done now. They're already thinking about, okay, what can we add to for next season? And that's why when everyone else is trying to catch up, there's no point trying to say, okay, watch the All-Ireland. If we can do that, we can get closer to them. You have to be thinking of the next step again, because they're going there again straight away.
Okay.
There's not.
But it is the salient point here. You're all inter-county managers at this stage. The last 20 minutes, everybody is saying what Kerry fell short in doing. What could Kerry, either on the sideline or on the field, have done differently? Apart now, Tony, from kicking the ball over the bar, which is the obvious answer. What could they have done differently to change the dynamic, change the shape and the momentum of a game that was getting away from them? What didn't happen that could have happened?
Thanks. A nice nod across the table there, Tony. No, look, I think you've answered the question. It's kick the scores. For Dublin, I've had plenty of losing experiences with them, but the one kind of significant winning experience we had against them was the National League final in 2017. and similar to Mayo in their games as well, the draw and everything, that the games that were so tight, you have to get nearly everything right. You have to go score a score. You have to keep the scoreboard ticking over. You mentioned about Jim Gavin saying last night the goal gave them a bit of breathing room. You can't give them breathing room. If they get breathing room, they kill the game, they kill you, they suddenly start holding on to the ball, they stretch the whole thing out, it's hard to get at them, they're tiring you, they're creating these little chances, then they're getting it to the shooters, suddenly two becomes three, becomes four, becomes five, becomes six, and it's just so hard to deal with that. So you just have to keep ticking the scoreboard over. How do you do that? It's measured football. You keep the ball in hand, you're popping it, you're running. Tony mentioned already about that, you're breaking those lines, you're getting fellas coming in twos and threes together. Kerry early on went long. I think the reason they went long is they had success in the league game with Dermot O'Connor on the pitch, contributing as a target inside at times in that game. So I think that was the thinking. We can get goals off this. Dublin hoovered up the breaks last night, so they made it, it didn't work as effectively. But as soon as Kerry went back to running the ball again, coming through the lines, fellas coming in numbers, they got scores again. So I think that's what you have to do. I think to beat them, that you just, you keep the ball in hand, you don't give them turnovers, you try to get after their kickouts if you can, you win all your own kickouts, and the ball has to go dead. And when you get a chance to score, you have to, you just have to take the scores. And I know it sounds, it's simple. Yeah. It is quite simple, but it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
Because they put you under such pressure.
But isn't it, like, to be fair, then the point about Stephen O'Brien's goal chance, like, you can't underestimate, like, what momentum and energy and life that would have given Kerry if that ball hit the back of the net. Suddenly, you know, everybody now was up and we're saying, hang
on
now.
As in the Tyrone game.
You know, his exactly. His goal in the Tyrone exactly. game. Like, sometimes it is, you just have to take your chances. Now, I also would have thought that, you know, like, Killian Splann made such an impact the last time, you know, he was brought on in the 60th minute. I would have tried to, you know, maybe get the guy in earlier. Same with Tommy Welsh. You know, Jack Sherwood was in before him. But, you know, maybe at that stage you could feel the game was probably slipping away from Kerry, and that it was a time to get them in 5 minutes, 10 minutes earlier than you had been doing all along. But at the end of the day, if Stephen O'Brien hits that, you know, the back of the net, that changes the dynamic of the last 15 minutes of the game, and everything then is back up in the air. And sometimes it's as simple as that, like.
But you can't, at some stage in this game and the game of the weekend past, you have to be able to take a chance and gamble on something. Mm. And I think the likes of Paul Murphy in particular, like, he was defensive-minded too much for me the whole game. Like, he's... For me, he's an influential player, and that he's good in possession, aiming that you're talking about. He can control games as well. He can break lines as well. And while he would have been doing a lot of covering in defence, I'm sure he had legs still left at the end of that game. And I think those players need to start influencing themselves and driving that game forward the way Eamon's talking there. And that has to come from key players. And there's no better player than Paul Murphy to do that going forward. And I think Kerry needed to get to a place where there was coming in waves and taking a chance on it. And
he did that in that league final, Tony, that time. He did it. He did in 2017, where he was playing as a sweeper by us that day, but we had so much ball that he was constantly on the front foot, and he makes the right decision then in possession.
He did it the second half of the drawing game.
He did look to be pulling on a hamstring or something.
Yeah, he left early.
Maybe he was limited that way. Like, but if that is the case, and if that's the type of football that makes sense, and it does in it, when Eamon's talking about, then you need the right players in the field. You know, and then if that's what Killian Splann's going to offer you, then he does need to be on it earlier than that, you know.
Yeah, and that's, you know, look, again, it's when he's not on it early and you lose the game, it's always the reason why. But if it just seemed to me like it was, you know, it was crying out for it. Even Gavin White, like, I was looking at Gavin White and I thought, you know, Gavin Crowley had given every ounce he had in him at that stage, and he looked, you know, like he you could have just got fresh legs in there earlier and just had more of a kind of drive like you're talking about, Tony, and really have a cut off it and even get an opportunity to get your 12 bodies up into the half and be bold for the last 20 minutes of the game and really try and suffocate them in there and create a couple of chances. But look, like they've done already, lads, and like Cluxton, the reason Stephen O'Brien didn't score ultimately, Johnny Cooper played it well, but Cluxton, like, again, comes up with a huge, huge play like he did in the drawing game to keep Dublin in it, to save that Stephen O'Brien chance. And then again, like you mentioned already, Emil, like he 20-something kickouts in the last two of them. Mm. Like, the guy is just like phenomenal. Like, and he was around the place after again with his, you know, in front of the hill and stuff. Again, for a guy who's notoriously shy, or, you know, media shy and doesn't want to do any of that stuff, he seemed to be another guy that was lapping up a little bit more. But like, what a footballer, lads, and a goalkeeper that Dublin have in their ranks to just keep finding ways around whatever you throw at him.
Is there any danger? No, this isn't, you know, you're looking at me
another
there.
Scud.
Like, I'm going to throw another scud at you. I'm not. But what I would say is, just from a Kerry point of view, and given the progress that these young fellas have made and this team has made, and the two of you are still living at home in Tralee, is there any danger that the fact that they failed, and I use that word with an inverted comma, to prevent the five in a row, and you know how important and, you know, the resonance that that holds in Kerry, that that having that around their neck may even retard their progress a small bit in 2020. The fact that they had the chance over 2 days. Like, let's imagine for 1 second that they actually had won the All-Ireland the weekend. I mean, that those Kerry lads would already be down in history at this stage as the team that prevented the five in a row. Like, Seamus Darby is 37 years later still mentioned for the same thing. I suppose I just have the smallest worry. I was thinking about this last night. Is it something that they're going to be reminded of next year? Oh, Jesus, you're great, but you're a great lad, you're a great, you're, but Jesus, what a pity you didn't stop the five in a row.
No, I don't think so at all, Tony. I think the energy around the county, from what I've seen, definitely over the last month or so, it's a very positive energy. So no, I don't think so. And I think Offaly have won in All-Ireland since 1982, so I think that it's only going to make the lads hungrier. I think the challenge for them next year is that Peter and the lads coming in this year, it was a completely new setup, very fresh, new ideas, new demands, different way of doing things, and there was a huge bounce off that. Now, as a new management team, you'll get that bounce for 2 years max, before the lads start getting to know you, and then it goes in a different graph. You know each other better, and maybe as a management team you can get more out of them. But I think in that first 2 years, when there's an element of mystery about you as the manager and the management team, you can get fellas, you can get a lot out of fellas. So I think that next year is going to be huge from us, from the point of view that that freshness or bounce or whatever you want to call it will last another season max. So I think that'll be, you know, a challenge for the management team next year, to keep accelerating what's happened this year. But to answer your question, the whole five in a row thing, no, I don't. To me the role of honour thing is a more important thing to protect, and that becomes a challenge for the next decade. So No, I don't think the five in a row thing is going to be a thing that's going to be thrown at him.
I can't believe you took shots at Offaly there. Like, poor Offaly. I haven't won All-Ireland since 82 and you're taking shots. That's very apt.
Do you think so? I was only saying this, like,
No, it's gone. Do you know what they will listen to, Tony, like, for the winter? And it's not going to be about the five in a row. It's going to be, you missed your chance the first day. Like, that's, you know, you left it after you the first day. That's what you, and like, you can hear people already saying it. And there's obviously truth to it. You know that the underdog in those scenarios normally gets the best crack the first day out. And like, it was just the circumstances that presented themselves the first day with Johnny Cooper's red card, with the momentum you had, with taking the lead, you know, with only minutes to go. Like, that was just such an amazing opportunity. And all they're going to hear about for the winter is, you did really well and we're really proud of you. And the vibe is totally positive in Kerry. Like, it's actually absurdly positive. I haven't seen it, you know, like that for a while. But I kid. But the point.
Don't leave, Eamon.
They're going to get that. Like, that's the one that's going to be held over their head. You left it after you the first day.
And you know what they'll be able to say back? And I was only again looking this up over the two games, which is a combined 150 odd minutes. Kerry led for a minute and 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So, like, let there be no argument or debate. Yes, you can argue Kerry left it. You know, they had an opportunity. I would describe it as a missed opportunity. When Killian Spillane put them a point ahead, that was the only time over the course of the two games that Kerry actually led. Actually, just one thing on the management that you were saying there, going back to our good friend Jim Gavin again. he was asked, like, as you know, Eamon, you've been in these rooms as well, and like Mike will be in the future, in terms of what are you going to do next year? Are you staying on? And I would have presumed most managers always bat them away, but actually Jim was really bullish about 2020. You know, I'm not certain that he'll have the entire management team there in 2020, and I'm pretty certain he won't have the entire squad there in 2020. But we seem to have this view, Mike, don't we, that, well, that's the five in a row done now, and it's all done and dusted. But you look at the age profile of that Dublin side, and certainly from Jim Gavin's comments, he's going nowhere. Like, what, you know, where are we? Why aren't we already talking about 6 and 7?
I saw somebody put up something yesterday. The most frightening thing was that Owen Merchant is under 14 again next year. Like, their age profile is like not.
It is, but it still comes down to the man between the sticks. If he goes, the whole thing changes.
Yeah.
It's as you know, they are brilliant all over the field, and they are replacing their players. He's doing a brilliant job, and he regenerated them while winning a five in a row. Evan Comerford this year, more so than other years when he played in league games, I was impressed with him, and I think that he has developed, but he's not Stephen Cluxton. He's not Stephen Cluxton on the field, and he's not Stephen Cluxton driving the standards in the dressing room. So when he goes, that is a game changer for me. I do think that highly of him, and I think that he's such influence that when he goes, that can change the dynamic. But I agree with you about like the six in a row and everything else. I think the five in a row is actually a kind of a monkey off their back now, and they'll actually play with a bit more freedom next year, which is frightening for the rest of us and frightening for everyone involved in the Leinster Championship in particular.
But
with that sets the challenge for everybody else, and that sets the challenge for that Kerry team coming through, and for a Tyrone team that seemed to be in change as well, and for anybody else for that matter, like for Mayo that seems to be in transition. There is a challenge there for them, and why, if any of those players are not looking to take that challenge on with Dublin, I would be astounded if any of those big teams are not ready for that next year and working early at it, like, and set the bar really high for themselves to go there, because this is a team that's beatable. Mayo could beat them but couldn't, could beat them but didn't take the opportunity. Kerry could have beat them but didn't take the opportunity. So both them teams, along with Tyrone and Donegal and anybody else, will have a good chance next year.
And like, as you mentioned it, Tony, like, will there be many of these guys will walk away? Like, it's so difficult to walk away from like what they're in the middle of right now, in terms of, I'd say, the way they're training and that whole environment, like, and the way they're looked after so well, everything. Mm-hmm. Like, why? And you know, next year, like, your favourites, and if it doesn't happen, it's going to be a shock. The year after, your favourites, and if it doesn't happen, you're going to be a shock. Like, you have the potential here to walk away with God knows how many medals if you really, you know, if you want to stay at it as long as you can.
But I would say the sympathy's gone now. I'd say whatever sympathy Jim had, he displayed at the weekend in giving Bernard the opportunity to be in the 26 as an example. And along with some of those players who come on late on in the match, I would say that's about the level of Jim's sympathy. And I would say coming for six in a row, I'd say quite a few of them would be moved on at this stage.
Yeah, I would say that the lads outside of the 26, you know, Bernard Brogan, Owen O'Gara, fellas like that, that have a lot of service given. They're fellas that'll be asking hard questions, all right, of themselves. But other than that, you know, the likes of Michael Darren McCauley and Kian O'Sullivan, Philly, all those fellas, they're still early 30s. Like, it's not as if they're pushing up 34, 35. So, like you said, I can't see any of them moving on. Cluxton is the question. Like, I mean, like you said, after the game last night, he was walking around and waving to the hill, and I was just hoping that maybe he's waving goodbye, but I suppose that's probably not the case, because he's such a professional anyway in the way he approaches it. He doesn't have to do it from a body or a physical perspective, so it'll be only if he doesn't have the appetite. And any fella that goes analysing his own performance, like, that was one of the tidbits last night, Tony, wasn't it, from the press conference that Jim Gavin said
about the Killian
Spillane goal and how hard he worked after that game to make sure he was right for the replay. That doesn't sound like a fella who's ready to hang up his boots.
No, he was actually talking, wasn't he, about his footwork.
He actually did
serious video analysis with two other guys in the video analysis team on the fact that he felt his footwork was wrong as he was setting himself for the Killian Spillane goal.
And it was a brilliant, like, I mean, he obviously didn't think to give Killian any credit for a, for a brilliant finish, in terms of, like, it was a kind of a typical one that you would wrong foot a keeper with, like.
Yeah, tell me, you know, all of you, talking about perfection, I mean, and Tony, you mentioned in there about everybody else chasing next year, like, how scary was that first half for the chasing pack lads? Because I thought, I mean, I know people, I didn't agree, and I think Mike, maybe you might have been the same, or one of you, that I didn't actually think the first game was a classic. I just thought it was too many errors. I thought that the first, like, it was like a game of darts that people just kept going 180, 180, 180. You get 180, and then we'll go back and get 180. I mean, I can imagine to the other 30 counties looking in at that, Mike, you're looking at that and you're actually saying to yourself, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just the level of talent. And Tony, you, like, mentioned already, like they are the best players that we have in our game. Like, we had pretty much, bar a few other guys that have been, had great years, like Colin McShane and different guys. Like, they are the collection of the best guys that we have in our game. And what we saw in spurts yesterday, and I don't think yesterday's game was a classic. Like, the second quarter, that the second 25 minutes of the first half, I thought was like, just unbelievable football. And it was every time one team had the ball, you could nearly just chalk up a score. They were going to create a chance, and they were going to take a really good opportunity. Like, Ganey scores, Clifford, like, Conn O'Callaghan looked like he was going to score every time he touched the ball. Like, it was just of such a high quality that you're looking at it saying, this is fabulous. But, you know, for everybody else that's aspiring to get to that level, there's loads of stuff you can take out of it, and that's all you can do, and try and learn and improve yourself. But my God, it's a high mountain peak, really, isn't it?
It is, but I think, look, we saw in the first game that a lot of players on both sides are human as well. You know, I think, to be fair to the forwards, last night, on both sides, they were outstanding. Like you said, every time people got ball in hand, they looked like they were going to score, and the backs didn't do too badly either, so they didn't, Tony. They were standing them up, they weren't fouling, they were putting them under pressure. You know, as a coach, you'd be saying to them, listen, that's better than fouling them and giving Dean Rock or Shawnee Shea a tip over free. You're putting them under pressure. Some of the scores, Conn O'Callaghan's first score was with his left foot. You know, you'd have been saying to Tom Sullivan, you're pushing him onto his left foot, you're putting him under pressure. Look, if he kicks that, you're going to take your hat off and say fair play to him. You haven't given the chip over free away. So it was exceptional forward play, but in the first game we didn't have that exceptional forward play from a lot of them. So of course, when forwards like that hit an ice, they're fairly hard to stop, but there can be other days that they can be stopped, for sure.
And the psychology of it as well, though, Eamon, like, I was only, like, you could nearly pencil in the guys that were going to have big games last night from the guys that didn't play well the previous game. You know, it's amazing, like, just mentally, like, how, you know, if you underperform and you get another opportunity 2 weeks later, you just kind of know, like, you knew that Conn O'Callaghan, while he was still good the first game, he just didn't get the scores. You knew Kieran Kilkenny was not going to be as quiet as that again. Like, and
Paul Ganey
the same, you know. Like, Brian Fenton still wasn't amazing, but he was an awful lot better than he was the first day. While you'd have to say Moran and Jack Barry Morden competed with the two lads in the middle of the field. But it's just, I think, a sign of them as well, Dublin as champions, that if I underperform, you can absolutely know it's not going to happen two games in a row, and they showed that.
I'm going to put you on the spot, but not about what you think. Do you think Dave Moran and Tommy Walsh, for different reasons, will play again in 2020?
Jeez, I think so. Yeah. I think so. I really do. I mean, I haven't spoke to him about it or anything, but I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, I think this has been David Moran's best year of football in several years,
what,
you know? He's about 30, 30, yeah. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I know he's got mileage on his knees and different things, but I thought the way he was moving yesterday, like, if you took away the three wides that he kicked, I would have said the guy was 8 out of 10. I thought he had a fine game. The three wides just discolored
him. He was actually the best midfielder over the two games.
I thought so. Yeah, I thought so. You know, and Tommy the same. I just would have loved to have seen Tommy get more time, you know. And if this idea of we're going to go long in the first 10 minutes, I would have loved to have seen, let's do this here when Tommy comes on the pitch for the 10 minutes that he's there. Let's just bomb him with ball. Mm. like I think both of them had you know, Tommy had a really good semi-final impact off the bench. Thought he had a really good impact in the drawn game, and I thought he had, you know, every ball that was kicked in bar one yesterday, he won it out in front of Philly. Like, Philly, it was funny when they came on, Philly was kind of banging him in the chest, and I was saying, like, of all fellas to be banging in and hitting in the chest, this fella's the same as hitting a wall. Like, and the first ball Tommy got, he won it over in front of the Cusick, turned, looked at him, and went by him, and Philly pulled him, or, you know, fouled him, and it was a tap over free. And I was thinking, like, whatever nonsense that Philly was talking to him in the first minute and a half, it was he was getting it back in bucket loads for that period, you know? But, like, look, I don't think there's any reason those guys would go. I think both of them had big impacts. I think for Tommy's point of view, when we spoke about it with him before, it really validated his decision to go back in and have the positive impact that he had. And I think he's gonna be feeling really good about himself, which as someone who's managing him at club level and we're playing county championship next week, I feel really good about it.
We're gonna wrap it up shortly, but I just wanted to get your views. I mean, the you know, on Saturday night we had the RT, we're picking their team of the year, and without going through, you know, a team like this, the forward line was incredible, and it didn't include David Clifford. I think it did include Sean O'Shea, but it didn't include David Clifford. And Larry Ryan is sitting here, and Larry Ryan is, I actually think he's actually in love with David Clifford at this stage. He just cannot stop wondering and talking about the wonder that is David Clifford. Is it, Eamon, going to get more difficult in 2020, or is it going to come easier to David Clifford in 2020? Because obviously the fact that he hasn't his All-Ireland medal in his pocket now was going to fire him again for next season.
No, I don't. I look, David's graph is still going up and will stay going up, because this season, you have to remember, he missed the entire league injured. And for a fella at his development stage, he was 20 in January. He needs to play a league and to have the conditioning from a league and the full season to help him go on to the next level. So, no, his graph is still going up. His personality is going to keep going up, because that's just his makeup. He's not going to be happy. He's not, like, this year he had a very good season again. As I said, he's only 20, but he's not going to be happy. He doesn't have an All-Ireland medal. It's as simple as that. And until that is achieved, and until he has medals, David Clifford is too good to just have one medal. He's going to have medals. He's going to be driven. So, you know, he's only getting started, and he's only going to get better. And it'll improve. Like, his natural talent, his movement for his right-footed kick point in the first half, the way he lost his man, his movement for that. He just has this natural movement to buy space inside in small little pockets that's unbelievable. And with his conditioning and with the experience, he's only going to get better and better.
Who was the inside line of that team? I didn't see it on Saturday evening.
Colin McShane was full forward.
Con O'Callaghan
and Paul Mannion.
Yeah,
you can't argue with that.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough company. And McShane had a brilliant year, obviously. Like, and those other two are like, played great stuff. Yeah, Mannion himself would be a toss up. You know what? And I suppose he's a 20-year-old, and it'll be important to him. You know, all stars and all that, but. I'm not sure that the guy is so consumed with that side of things. Like, and you obviously know him better than me, Eamon, but like those Kerry boys are going to be desperate to validate how good everybody else is saying they are by going and beating Dublin and winning in All-Ireland. That's the big challenge for those fellas, and All-Stars are great.
Big time. I think for some of them, the challenge is going to be David is at the flip side. Then you have Sean O'Shea, who played a seriously, Sean O'Shea was 21 in July, a seriously high level throughout the season, going back to the Sigerson, going back to the first league game when he kicked the sideline ball over the bar right at the end of Tyrone, a significant score at the time. He's been playing up there through the whole season long. Now, the end of last season worked out for him well. He had a good break at the end of the calendar year, we'll say, coming into January. But for the last 9 months, he's been fairly pedal to the metal at the top of his thing. And he puts up big mileage as well. So I think he's a fella that will have to be managed in terms of that we want to see him at his best again next summer, and he's still in UCC, so he'll be having Sigerson, you know, he'll have County Championship, he'll have other things going on, so he's a fella that'll have to be managed. But that hunger that you're talking about, that's going to become obsessive for those lads, and the older lads as well. It's, you know, that, sure, that's what it's all about.
And they're playing Stranraer, Kenmare.
Yeah, he should take a break next week. Yeah, start his rest and recovery period next week. Yeah, are we good? So, lads, look, thanks a million for listening again. And as always, you can listen on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, and irishexaminer.com/podcast. Thank you very much for listening.
And before we go, no. I'm gonna surprise you again. I just wanted to thank the three lads for making the effort, because genuinely on an All Ireland weekend, Mike was in Dublin and he had to go down and take a training session in Tralee. I know, Fitzy, you were off basically writing your stuff for tomorrow and you had to come back up to Cork, and this fella is after coming down from Cross Maglen. So in fairness, it's a massive effort and we're hugely grateful to you for doing it, and it's the reason that this podcast has been as popular as it has been this summer, has been the remarkable, genuinely insightful quality of all the guests. So thanks to you as well.
With Renault, passion for what drives you. Official car partner of the GAA.